Hi, I'm Annie, and...
I'm Thais.
And my name is George Woodard.
All right, can you tell us a little about yourself?
Well, I was born and raised in the city of Albany, and basically went to school and everything there. Married, had a family, and everything like that. And basically dilly-and-dallying a lot of different things, politics and stuff like that. Worked a lot with young kids, trying to keep them straight and let them know what's out there in the world for you. And that's about it.
Mind if I ask a follow-up on that?
Pardon?
Do you mind if I ask a follow-up on
it? Want me to follow up on it?
Oh, no, I was going to ask, how'd you get involved with helping young kids?
Basically, coming from a certain area of Albany, you see a lot of kids standing and doing anything. And when you really see that, the community is not going up, the community is going down. So working with them and trying to get them out of the street and get them in back in school and show them the right way instead of the wrong way. And most of the kids have went on and did very well. As a couple of times I get in conversations with leaders in city of Albany, and I tell them, the kid that's standing over there on that corner has got a higher IQ than the guy that's walking around with the badge. And when you really put it together and test and see, you will see that. So somebody's got to do it, and that's the bottom line.
All right, thank you. So how long have you been in gardening?
My first garden was up the street. I live on Morris Street, right behind the College of St. Rose. And it was right up in park, in part of College of St. Rose. That was my first garden. And then I had another one down at Ritzfield. I don't know if you know anything about Albany. That's where they have the tennis courts made out of clay. And I had one there. And then they closed that one up. And no, that one still goes. And then I went down to Normanskill. And I was in Normanskill for a while until they had the big washout. And the soil got contaminated. But now I see it's back up and running. And then I was over on Sand Street. You know how you go to College of St. Rose Field where they play at? Over in that area. And now I'm in North Albany, and I also have one up, you know where Livingston Village is on Livingston Avenue? Well, then it's no sense in talking about it.
Could you tell us a story about you, about something you learned while gardening?
See, basically, all of my family came from a small town in Mississippi called Shibuti, Mississippi. And that's all they did was garden. You know, and one day my cousin, and his name is R.G., and I'll tell you a little bit about that. His name is R.G. McCall. We were sitting around, no, we were out hunting, and he said, when you gonna start gardening? I said, I ain't around nobody's garden. He said, yeah, but when hard times come, at least you know how to put a seed in the ground and grow. Makes sense. So that's how I got in the garden, basically with a lot of my cousins and my fathers and my uncle. And they brought the garden from Mississippi to Albany. I don't know how, if you remember, if you're out by Cross Gates, in the back of Cross Gates, there's a road called Rapp Road. Rapp Road is a place that now has just been put on the National Historical because that's where a lot of my family went to because they were used to having a garden and living in the woods. And everybody's house had a garden. I went to England one time, and I went from England to Germany. My brother retired out of the military and stayed in England. I had a cousin that stayed in Germany, Berlin. As I left England and went to Berlin on the train, every house I passed on that train had a house and a garden. You might have seen a pig, or you might have seen a cow, but you definitely seen chickens and flowers pot in each one of the windows that was facing that track. And I said to myself, these people ain't no more than my relatives. You know, it's a house, a garden, and something to eat if it wasn't no more than a chicken. I think this program, that what they're running here now with the young people, at least you will get that opportunity if hard times come, you know how to put a seed in the ground and eat. And what's that? The main thing, right? I hope I answered it.
All right, thank you. All right, well, Troy has a vibrant growing focus on local and community gardening. How would you describe the importance of community gardening for our future?
Everybody's going to eat. I think it's a good thing, and it works. It's something that works. Mm-hmm. That's the important thing. It works. You know, you put it in there, and then when you see it grow, you're very happy that you've seen something come up that you can eat right then and there. As my father said one time, I was, well, I'm not a shell peas. I don't know if you ever know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, you take a string bean or a black eyed pea and you shell it. You open it up and shell the seeds. I'm not a sheller. But I remember when I used to go to Mississippi to see my aunts sitting there shelling peas. I'm not a sheller. My cousin would say, you see that? You get that nail and you can run it right up that and open it up. I'm not a sheller. And as my father would say, if you don't take it out of the grocery store, you're going to starve. Because if hard times comes, you're going to starve. So you better learn how to put something in that ground so you're going to have something to eat. So I found somebody else to do the shelling for me, to be honest. It was an older lady, and she caught me off surprise. She says, I had a bunch of, I said, Mr., she said, well, you know, I take my half. You got to take your half. You take your half, because I'm not a sheller. And that's how it was in Mississippi. They would shell for the person. They took their half, and the other person that they were shelling for would take theirs. And that's how they survived down there. And that was life. But it came out of the garden. Yeah.
On a lighter note, what are some...
I hope I'm not boring you.
Oh, no, you're fine. Thank you.
What are some of your favorite things to grow?
That I've grown with these guys, a lot. Like the rutabaga, not the rutabaga. Yeah, the rutabaga that the gentleman brought in here, it was good. You know, it's just that my mother used to do it and chop up the small pieces of pork fat and put it in there with it to give it flavor. The biggest thing that I introduced it to the garden, community garden, was sweet potatoes. They didn't think sweet potatoes would grow up here. And you make a row as long as this table. You rototill the dirt up and you get a, this is when them guys was on my back. And I was the one that had to do the ordering. And I found the guy and I said, look, can you bring in the plants and the water? And I don't know what happened, but boy, that ain't what I wanted you to. I said, that's what they said. And he said, I don't care, that ain't what I told you. He said, I told you I wanted pool plant. I said, well, what's the difference? It's a plant, stick it in the ground, it's gonna grow. Call them back up and tell them to ship me some pool plants. A cutting is like when you go and take a plant and you cut something off from it and then stick it in the ground. That has got to make a root before it starts producing. A pool plant has a root. So which one is going to grow faster?
Probably the first option.
Which one?
The first option?
No. The one with the root is going to start producing faster than the one that's got to make a root and then start producing. Ship them back. Nope, we don't take them back. So we had, but as the old guys from down south, you don't throw anything away. So we're going to start the roots over on this side and we're going to put the other ones over here. So what's the theory here? Well, we're going to pick them and then we're still going to have them coming along. So now you're going to have two crops instead of one crop. Then I said, Haji, what are you doing? He said, you cut these off the roots, and then we're going to take them over there. I said, oh, man, we're going to be picking sweet potatoes from now on. But it works. So now we got three crops instead of two crops. And we had a lot of sweet potatoes that year. These are the things that you pick up from the older people. And what you picked up from the older people is how to survive. I asked my father, I said, Dad, what did you guys do when the big depression came on? He said, what depression? What do you mean, what depression? I said, well, people was jumping out of buildings. He said, oh, well, the only thing we could do is climb up in a pine tree and jump, but we didn't have nothing to jump from, but we were sharecroppers. I said, well, how did you, he said, we had money, but we didn't have a lot of money. And we would take the cane syrup, they had sugar cane. And they would put it in this thing and process it and get the sugar out of it. They would take that to the store and barter for meal, flour, and seasoning. And that's how they lived. Garden is a very, very important part of life today. If you go to some of the biggest states, you will see some of the biggest farms that you ever want to see. And if you notice right here in New York State, if you ever get out of Albany, like my grandson, going to Brockport, you're just riding and all you see is nothing but just fields and fields of corn. Or either you'll see fields and fields of cabbage. It's survivable. And what the community garden brings to the table It's survival. They might not know it, but it is in a way of survival for people to survive off of. Because if things go sour, at least you know how to throw. As my father said, I said, Dad, I got these beans. He said, now the next time, you leave those beans out there until they dry. Here we go with another education. Why we gotta wait until they dry? Says if the power goes off and you got them in the freezer, what happens? If you let them go dry and you got them in a jar and you got them in your cabinet, put some water in there and let them boil, at least you're gonna have some beans. But what are you gonna eat when it's in the freezer and the power's gone and everything goes bad? All about education. And my cabinet is filled with beans. You know, it's really interesting, you know. So like I said, the community garden is doing something. At least if you go and learn how to plant and learn how to cook, you'll do very well if hard times ever did, which I wish it don't come. But we never know. You never know. And it's surprising that when you go overseas and you see how these people live, a house, a garden, chickens or something running around, you know. And they have their big cities and stuff like that, but you also got the ones like Rap Road. Every one of my cousins had a, and then my cousin Dan, he had a big pig farm, and, you know, they survived. I hope that's it.
All right, that's about it. All right, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for coming.
I hope I didn't bore you.